comments or questions? I can't answer that one. Question is, what is our private use of these things, say, in our letters, for example? No, we can't, as private Christians, we can't give blessings, but we can tell people we're praying these things for them, and we can begin a letter, you know, may God richly bless you and give you his grace and peace. So we can express them in desire prayer form. But we do read them in Scripture. Now, we've focused on public worship, but when we read them in Scripture, we realize they're there for us in private reading as well. And so you've got these promises of God. He's going to bless you through the means of grace. He's going to bless you as you read and study His Word. He has promised to give you grace and peace every day in your life. And so when you read those promises again in Scripture, then that reminds you of what God is doing in you and for you. And you use Scripture seeking those things. So we don't just use preaching, we use Scripture to seek those things as well.
Yes, Dr. Another follow-up question from the context yesterday. It's a theological question really concerning covenant children that I think is practical to the congregation at large, but I'd like to frame it as personal illustration, if I could. Again, in light of the blessing given and the benediction this morning and this evening, you had the congregation stand and look up as you gave the blessing, you pronounced that, and assumed the right posture. And so I had Buckley on my shoulder, so these two. And so with one arm, I had my hand out, with my other arm, I'm having him face you so that he might also receive the blessing. And so my question is, because you didn't, you were clear that yes, he was in the office, so maybe I'm answering it. But my question is, given his youthful mind and spirit, is any real grace conferred to him with his ability or inability to receive
that? Very good question. An adolescent or infant, is there any real grace communicated to them? You know, I would say that as a part of the Christian community and the Christian home, they're going to participate corporately in those blessings. The personal grace, it's the same with say, the preaching or the Lord's Supper. We want our children under preaching, even at the age they won't understand it. They're in the context where grace is being administered, and they will early on begin to understand and receive grace. So we don't know at what age they can begin, but when they begin to understand God gives me grace and they believe that, then God, but I do think there has to be an element of faith exercised for personal reception, but the corporate reception, part of the people of God, then they would participate in the blessing in that way. Very good question.
Can you elaborate on how we are supposed to live as those who have received the blessing, in the sense of addressing our neighbors and our friends, and living out what God would have us do? I'm thinking more of evangelism.
Okay. Living out the blessings in terms of evangelism. I really think it's, in a sense, secondary. The blessing is giving us the grace to obey God. And so we live it out by trying to obey Him in faithfulness, keeping His law, looking for opportunities and to speak of His greatness. And the blessing assures us that God will give us the grace and strength to do those things. So I don't know there's a direct application to what we would say to our neighbors necessarily, but, you know, I could see some very interesting conversations developing this week. We had a Bible conference this week, and you know, the preacher said some interesting things about what God does for his people in worship. And then if they're interested, you share that, and that could lead to other things as well. So there's always the indirect. Anything we do here, a sermon you hear, you can see if somebody is interested in talking about that. But the big thing is for us, it's not necessarily going to be demonstrated in our words, but it's our confidence. That we have confidence that we can obey God because He has given us grace and mercy and peace. Yes, ma'am.
The salutation that you could use the example of Boaz, the Lord bless you, and the Lord bless you here. Some of our churches, I think, are Judas. One in particular that I visited, the pastor greets the congregation with the Lord be with you, and they say to him, and also with you.
Right. I like you have seen that done. It's surely scriptural language. And so basically it's the congregation wishing, praying back to the pastor that God will be with him as he has said. But I think you're right. The difference in the language is this is our mutual desire. So that would be different from the salutation, which is in fact an apostolic communication. But it wouldn't necessarily be wrong, it just wouldn't have the same significance.
So you use other, like, for the blessing that it would be if you had a Christian.
Right, right. You know, we probably should think more about that, you know. I see you, Lord be with you, and you say, and with you.
Do you find a place for the doxology in every worship service, or is it something that we should reserve as we have done to when we're having the table or observing the session?
I think it should either be I think it should be in one of its forms in every worship service, whether it's attached to a prayer led by the pastor or an elder, or whether it's sung in one way or the other. So not didn't always have to be sung. I use it always after the benediction. To sing a song, a sung one. But even then I would also at times incorporate it into prayer. So I always have a sung doxology after the benediction. And when I order worship. Okay. Think the sheep are weary? Well, again, thank you very much for your hospitality and your attentiveness. It's just a great blessing to be here.
Thank you.